Please be seated. And now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts find acceptance in the sight of Almighty God, who is our rock and our redeemer. Let us be led into this word, that to be led out from it, from 1 Corinthians and from the book of Acts, we might catch glimpses of the kind of church and people that God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, is asking us to be. Amen. So Pentecost is literally about the 50 days after Easter, and the Holy Spirit coming in upon those disciples who were still in Jerusalem 50 days after they had given witness to the Easter miracle. Of course, it was a crazy moment. It was very confusing for them. It was very dislocating to hear different languages being spoken and to be able to understand it. These things, I'm not sure what a tongue of fire is necessarily, but whatever it was, it must have overwhelmed them. And it took just a few minutes for them to figure out what was actually happening. Did you hear the part in the text when the story of Pentecost was read from Acts today, where some of the guys just finally say, they're drunk. They got into the new wine at breakfast. This makes no sense. They're out of it. They've lost their minds. It's Peter, in one of his finest moments anywhere in the entire Bible, who steps up to the plate and says, I know what's going on here. I read about this in Joel. And Peter's really the one that makes Pentecost make sense for us. It's really important day in the life of the church, crucially important day. The gift of the Spirit is what we're remembering today, which guides us and aids us every time we pray. It shapes us every time we worship, every time we sing songs. The Holy Spirit is near us and with us and in us. It blesses our sacraments, baptism, and the Lord's Supper, and it aids the church of a whole as a whole. Like, every church in the world is blessed and touched by the Holy Spirit, where people of good faith and conscience have gathered together to worship and serve. And yet, individually, it also speaks to us. It can renew us and transform us. It can touch our lives and lead us. And so it's a really important day in the life of the church. It's really one of the big three. The problem is that it never really gets its due. We all say Merry Christmas and Happy Easter. Anybody said Happy Pentecost to you today yet? Happy Pentecost. Unless someone does it intentionally or remembers for us, it just doesn't happen naturally. In some ways, it may be that this entire Pentecost story, the arc of it, how we wind up in Jerusalem with the Holy Spirit descending down from heaven like a rush of wind upon those disciples, it's really the culmination of the story that we started all the way back at the beginning of Advent. This is crucially important, friends, that we understand how big a day Pentecost really is in the life of the church, even though our local merchants are never going to have 12 Pentecost days of savings right before we get to put on our red stoles and hang the banners in the windows. What's going on at Pentecost is that it's literally the Holy Spirit of God. It's not some shim-sham of God. It's not some partial experience of God. It is the whole experience of God flowing through the hearts and lives of the children of God. And as it is part of God, it is the creative and transformative force of life and spirit, our Holy Spirit, that can change hearts and lives. And sometimes it can even change fates itself as it calls men and women into life of service, gives hope to the lost and to the dying, and reminds us of the spiritual gifts that we all share in common, even as we all share them with one another. One of our former scholars in residence, a brilliant New Testament scholar named Willie James Jennings, who has since left Duke and now teaches at Yale, here at White Memorial, said many years ago about Pentecost, he said, Pentecost is revolutionary. He called it a change agent. On Pentecost, the Spirit takes every divergent identity, every divergent people, race, language, and ideology, and it melds them into one people. It melds them into one. Could the Holy Spirit be that important? Could it be that powerful? How much of a miracle in the current state of affairs of the world that we all share today would that be? It'd be miraculous. It'd be the greatest moment in human history. If all the guns, all the wars, all the things suddenly came to an end because we experienced in the revolution of the Holy Spirit. There's not just the book of Acts that thinks this. It's also the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians. We only read 10 or so verses, and the word Spirit appears 10 times. 3/4 of the verses of 1 Corinthians 12, 3 through 13, Three quarters contain the word spirit, because spirit lies at the heart of the practice of faith. Spirit, these gifts of the spirit that the Apostle Paul sees, have been given to us in order that we might share them with each other. Remember, this is the same apostle who will tell us in the book of Galatians chapter 5 what the fruits of the spirit are. Do you all remember them? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. I mean, I've been alive almost 51 years now. God has blessed me to be on five continents on this earth. I've never met a person who got hurt by any one of those things. I've never met a person who couldn't benefit from more of that fruit in their spiritual diet. Those are truly the greatest gifts that we can receive. And whenever we feel or share those nine things, we are close to the Holy Spirit, and it is close to us. By contrast, when our hearts are filled with hatred, conflict, impatience, unkindness, greed, unfaithfulness, when our lives feel unhinged, when it feels like the wheels have come off the proverbial wagon, the Holy Spirit somehow has been cut off. And that's not because the Spirit has abandoned us. Oh, no. God promises that the Holy Spirit never abandons us. It happens because we cut ourselves off from the fruits of the Spirit, because we have desired other things in spite of the joy and freedom that only the Holy Spirit can provide. So that's the question this day. Do we desire things like fame, wealth, power, and praise at the expense of all else? Because I know everybody in here has desired one of those things at least once in our lives. Maybe some of us continue to desire them. And they're not all bad. They just don't love us back. They can't. But instead of desiring those things, we have an opportunity to desire service and fellowship of brotherhood and sisterhood. Are we going to choose the luxuries of the world? Or are we going to give serious attention to the sacrificial way of Jesus Christ? You see, that seems like an easy question to answer, especially when you're in church and someone's just said Happy Pentecost to you. But when you get out that door, you will be bombarded once again by all the things that the world tries to convince us to desire instead of the Spirit of God. And the truth is, the Spirit of God is the only thing that can lead us back to the ministry of Jesus and to what service in his name really looks like. How important is this Spirit to us, to this service in his name? Well, in Christian theology, our words and thinking about the Holy Spirit belong to a subclass of theology called pneumatology. It's derived from the word pneuma, which means spirit or breath. In fact, the Greek Bible uses them so often that the translations of one or the other are almost interchangeable. That's why we have so many songs in our Bible with the words breathe in them. In our hymnal, with the words breathe in them, like the hymn, Breathe on Me, Breath of God. It takes us all the way back to the Garden of Eden when God breathed spirit into Adam and Eve. Now, if you've never heard the word pneumatology before, but that word sounds sort of familiar to you, it's because it's the same root for the word pneumonia. Pneumonia, which steals our breath. Pneumonia, which literally takes our breath away. The point here is to remind us that just like we cannot live without breath, we really don't have any spiritual life without spirit. They are literally the two essentials that we need. All the way back to Pentecost, those hearts are transformed with belief and with God's help. What kind of hearts? We've already said it would be revolutionary, but did you hear that long list of nations and different people? It was 16 in all. And for its time, it was quite literally the known world across the continents and the seas. The book of Acts tells us that they were there from every nation under heaven. Their hearts converted for the very sake of not only their lives and their souls, but for the sake of the world that God loves. No one is left out once the Holy Spirit gets moving. And that means that there's always cause for hope. But the thing is that for hope to become more than words, some hard work must be done. As the Bible said, we Christians, we neighbors, we all need visions and dreams of the other people of faith. We need total participation in this world, everyone pulling their weight and helping hearts to be converted to the way of God. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, our call is to join in the work with the Trinity of loving our neighbors and helping everybody see everyone else with the eyes of God's love. Of course, that's easier said than done. There are a lot of peaks and a lot of valleys along that path. But the truth is that there's no transformation story, not yours, not mine, not the one that you saw in an inspiring news clip. There are no transformation stories without setbacks and pitfalls. And yet they continue to take place. Transformations continue to take place. Hearts and minds are changed and they grow. And when lives are changed throughout in the life of the church, it's because the Holy Spirit has made it so. And so, yes, Pentecost is about the gift of the Holy Spirit, the very Spirit which allows us to follow the way of God even when we are tempted to follow something or somebody else. The Spirit is always available and ever present, even when we have taken a setback or when we have failed to follow it as it has called us to follow. I once heard the great American historian and theologian Cornel West. The interviewer asked him a question: "Dr. West, how do we recover our moral and spiritual standards? What can we do?" And Cornel West responded, "We try again, we fail again, and the next time we fail better. Try again, fail again, the next time we fail better." See, that's the job, friends. That's what being a disciple of Jesus means. We continue to do the work alongside the Holy Spirit so that we might be united together in ways that inspire us to be our best and to share our best. But in this work, when the setback comes, we're going to have to remember that old demons die hard. Overcoming them requires energy, intelligence, imagination, compassion, courage, and love. And it's slow work. It's slow work. The Holy Spirit comes so fast in the rushing wind in our story from Acts, but that kind of work, that's slow work. One day, one witness, one life, one heart at a time. And yet, that's what we're called to do. To stay at it until things get changed. A story. When my kids were young, and I mean really young, I'm going to say the boys were 4 and 6 or 3 and 5, their little sister was still an infant, was the time in my life many years ago now where we watched a lot of movies with dancing clowns and superheroes. Sound familiar to anybody? Yeah? Some of us can remember it. Some of us might be living it right now. Well, being boys and being that I was their dad, when we watched these movies, they'd always want to know what superpower I wanted. "Dad, do you want to have laser vision? Dad, would you like to fly like Superman? Ooh, you'd want to be super strong, Dad, I bet. No, you want to be like Luke Skywalker and use the Force." I always dodged the questions. It didn't matter. I always wanted to know what they wanted, and they usually wanted to fly or to be super strong. I always wanted to know what they wanted, and they would always want to know what I wanted. So finally, one day, after I had hugely disappointed them by not answering the question, I said finally, "Well, if I could have a superpower, I would want to end world hunger." And they didn't use the word lame, but the look on their faces, that is so lame. Next time they asked, I said, "I'd want to cure cancer." Next time they said, "What would your superpower be?" And I said, "How about if I could end wars and hatred?" And like I said, my superpower was pretty boring compared to the heroes of the comic books and cartoons and did not inspire my young sons. But I do think my choice would be blessed by the Holy Spirit. I do. Any of the three. Because we follow the Holy Spirit. It inspires us, it touches us, it moves us. Every time we try to feed the hungry or house the homeless or sit with the suffering. Oh, my friends, there is a kingdom of God and we strive for it, whether we get there or not, each and every time we follow in the footsteps of the Holy Spirit. You see, whenever you get the urge to pick up the phone and call somebody you know that's hurting, whenever you get the urge to drive by the neighbor whose door you haven't knocked on in a while, to knock and say, "How are you? It's been too long." Whenever you get the urge to write the long-lost friend the letter, to care for someone in need, to reach out in compassion to a hurting or suffering person, when you get the urge to just sing every time I feel the Spirit, whenever we do any of those things, We're not doing them alone. We're doing them because the Holy Spirit is near us and it is with us. And according to the Apostle Paul, it's when we take all those acts of services and all those gifts and we remember that they all have one source in the Spirit of God. No wonder he uses it in 75% of the verses from our selection today. Long lost in the wake of Christmas and Easter, I hope I've convinced you at least a little bit about why Pentecost is so important today. And our prayer today is nothing less than God's Spirit would be sent forth and give us hearts for compassion, minds for wisdom, and courage for the work that we have ahead. As it happened on that very first Pentecost long ago, may it be so again. May we be as inspired by our Pentecost as they were by theirs. So, do we follow the Spirit or will we choose to follow something else? How we answer that question, my friends, will determine a lot about whether or not we follow the way of our Christ. Because truth be told, we cannot follow Christ without being in touch with the Spirit. There simply is no other way. As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, this is the way of our triune God. And it is a gift of the highest order that the Holy Spirit is with us from that first Pentecost Sunday until this one, right now, May 28th, 2023. The Holy Spirit is with us, friends. And that is good news. It is always with us, always leading us, guiding us, blessing us, and asking that we follow. In the name of God, the Father, and the Son, and especially on this day, the Holy Spirit, we offer these many things. Amen. My special thanks to our guest musicians today. Thank you so much for being here with us at White Memorial. It's always good to see you, and that was a wonderful piece, y'all. That sounded great. As you were listening to Gloria's prayer, you heard her talk about people who had died serving our country. And old pictures that people still have in their homes, and Gloria talked about some where it's not old news. And I, every Memorial Day weekend, will stand here and just, I want to say his name. I played football at Davidson College with a man named Josh Harris, who I always forget went to high school with Kate Church Norman here as well. Kate knew him. And he, after 9/11, volunteered for the Navy SEALs. And he became the oldest person that ever graduated from the SEAL school, SEAL Academy, and served with all sorts of acclaim for years, and died one night in Afghanistan, didn't come home. And at Davidson, there's a little part of campus. I see Emily up there. She probably knows where it is. It's by the old Oak Rose. And they've got all the names of all the people that were Davidson graduates who died in service. And there's only one for Afghanistan, and it's my buddy Josh. There's hundreds for World War II. There's a lot for World War I, you know, but just one. And so I remember him today, and I give thanks for others like him who put their own lives at risk that we might be able to worship, that we might be able to enjoy living and sharing the good gifts of this land. You know somebody, too. You've got a Josh. I mean, it's a great uncle or a cousin or a friend. It doesn't matter. Give thanks to them today and tell their story to somebody that you know so that these memories are not forgotten. With that, go from this place, friends. Go from this place to share the love, joy, hope, and peace of our God with any who needs to know about it this week. And may you know that when you do that, the Holy Spirit is near you and with you and in you every step of the way. Happy Pentecost, my friends.
Happy Pentecost.
God bless you all.